Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care. Working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Join us on Thursday as we explore Pet Health and Homeopathy, a show co-hosted by Homeopathy World Community founder and homeopath Debbie Bruck, and Doctor of Veterinary Medicine, author and homeopath Christina Chambreau. We invite you to comment and call in to contribute your questions. Let's go!
Debbie Bruck, founder of Homeopathy World Community, speaking with our co-host, Christina Chambreau, doctor of veterinary medicine. Today is February 9th, 2012, and I'm going to lower the sound very slowly. Okay, we're on live today, and we got in just in the nick of time. I have been so busy this morning, and getting into the show is sometimes a rush. So this is the show in the series where you can visit the live chat, comment, call in, ask your questions, or even send us some information previous to the shows that you might want to hear us talking about. And a number of people have been doing that lately, and we've been dealing with recently, a show about a terrier. Last week, we talked about an itchy terrier with colitis. And you may find all of this information on Homeopathy World Community, where if you click on the right-hand column, there's a little picture of Dr. Chambreau. Click that, and it will lead you to the groups and to all the listings of all the shows. In addition, you may visit Dr. Chambreau at healthyanimalsjournal.com and...
Well, the easier one is just My Healthy Animals.
Oh, I have to write that down then.
MyHealthyAnimals.com. Okay. The Healthy Animals Journal link is not in its best shape at the moment.
Okay, we're working on that.
Okay. But you can come on my website. You can still order the journal by going to the bookstore.
Very good.
So it's set up in ebook for dogs, as well as the regular print copy for dogs and cats. And soon I'll get the one for cats posted.
Excellent. And we spoke all about doing a journal in our earlier shows, so you can listen to that and realize why it would be a good thing to have one of these journals in your home to take care of your pet. And Dr. Chambreau hails from Maryland. Is that correct?
That's right, just north of Baltimore. And actually, it's where I've lived for the last 26 years of happily married life. But I was raised in the Air Force and traveled all around the world.
I love the way you say happily married life.
Absolutely.
Perfectly for our next week's show, which will be Valentine's week. And also, for those people who are expecting to learn today about the military animals with post-traumatic stress disorder, we're going to be postponing that for a future show.
Are we? We can do it today.
I was thinking there's going to be
We can even do one today, and we can do one later.
Okay, well...
we've got tons of that.
Yes, I know we have tons. I thought you wanted to concentrate on following up on the previous show and how we check our responses to whether the animal is
We can do that too. Whichever you'd rather do, we can do.
Okay.
So you want to just move on with the results to treatment?
We can do that, but I want to let folks know who are new to the show that we have this show and many others every single week in a series, and that you can share these shows with people by tweeting on Twitter, posting it on Facebook. Just click the URL or any of the little share links that are on the Blog Talk Radio website, And you can email these shows to your friends or embed them into your website. So there you go. I just wanted to give them the heads up on how to disseminate this information and share. And now we are ready to dive right in.
Great. Well, when we talk about, we've talked about the principles of homeopathy give us really incredible guidelines, whether we're treating with homeopathy, treating with conventional drugs and surgery, acupuncture, Reiki, regardless of what treatment is done. If you take the case the way homeopathy talks about it, the way Hahnemann set it up hundreds of years ago, you learn so much about your animals. And if you do it properly, you've quantified each symptom. So if you have a dog with lumps and bumps, you've measured the size. You either have an exact measurement with inches, or you compare it to a ping pong ball or a walnut, and you've maybe drawn a picture of where it is. If it's an itchy dog, maybe you use a scale of 0 to 10, or you talk about itching for 30 minutes after you get back from a walk. So you've quantified each specific symptom. And then you do your treatment, whatever treatment you choose to do or combination of treatments you choose. And then you have to tell what happened. Did this treatment do any good? And we've been trained by modern media, the last 100 years of antibiotics and anti-diarrheals and anti-vomiting and anti-histamines and anti-inflammatory drugs. We've really been trained to want to see symptoms go away, and that's all we care about. And what homeopathy offers us is much more powerful cures, and not just homeopathy, but other energy medicines offer that. So the key to being able to tell how your animal's doing is to have taken a great case. And remember that we have, this is all posted on the or will be right after this on the Blog Talk Radio, or on the Homeopathy World Community page, on my page. So the first is you've taken the great case, and after treatment, you pay attention to the energy and emotional changes especially, and you pay attention to any of those, any symptoms that you had already listed. Now, that in a way is a little bit negative, because you're sort of focusing on negative things. Like the symptoms, what's the diarrhea doing? What I want you to also do in your journal, whether you create your own or buy one, is to write in pretty colors all the wonderful and sweet and funny and humorous and silly things that your animals are doing. So you focus on the positive while you're tracking any negative symptoms.
This is such a great idea, Christina, because we do, as healers, very often we're so concerned about the bad things that are going on, and we want to see those relieved, that we can actually assist and encourage the positive things that are going on by focusing on those.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And it was Marlene Sandler, who's a wonderful animal intuitive, who was the one who actually taught me that. I had never thought about it, but when I was telling her about writing the Healthy Animals Journal and what my plan was for the Healthy Animals Journal, she was the one who said, oh, you need to do this.
Absolutely.
And all of a sudden I realized that homeopaths in general,
mm-hmm.
that this is a major problem for homeopaths.
I think we're just going in a new direction. We're learning that,
mm-hmm.
That we can actually influence the healing process by
our attitude.
Yes, that's really, and finish a consultation on a high note,
mm-hmm.
on an encouraging positive note.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So as we're tracking the symptoms, we need to know what to expect. There are four basic ways of animals or people responding to any kind of treatment. One is a cure, which is our goal. And the second is palliation or temporary help. The third is suppression, where the current symptoms go away but more severe symptoms appear. And, of course, the fourth is nothing. happens. There's just no change at all. The energy field was not impacted at all, and the symptoms were not impacted at all. So we'll go over each of these, and in the handout for today, there actually are links to more articles that you can read about cures and palliation than we'll have time to talk about today. So, cure. In a cure, what you're looking for is some evidence that the treatment you've done has impacted the energy field of the body, the vibrational force, the chi, the vital force, the energetic blueprint, that whatever word you want to use for it, prana, spirit, that has been impacted in a positive way and that it is now starting to heal the body. It's not merely getting rid of symptoms. What we're looking for is evidence that the body is healing itself. That's why often when people learn a little bit about homeopathy, they hear, oh, after you get or give a homeopathic remedy, you're going to have, your symptoms are going to get lots worse.
Why do they say that?
Because Hahnemann talks about the vital force digging in to produce symptoms to heal itself. The only reason we have symptoms is because the vital force is producing them. So when you give the correct remedy, initially you have I'm feeling better. That's important. Better energy level, better emotional state, maybe a more normal appetite. And then the current symptoms may get aggravated. You may get a homeopathic aggravation. But you don't have to have that. You may have some symptoms from the past return briefly and then go away on their own with no more treatment or with very little treatment. And when those symptoms come back or when the current symptoms get worse, at the same time, the animal is not bothered as much by them. So the animal is still feeling better in general. Also, another way to know that the animal is curing is that the symptoms are moving towards the back and out of the body. So this could be a dog with demodectic mange that has a swollen, bloody face and the eyes are ulcerated and shut and can't even open the eyes, and the rest of the body looks great. As we treat the face, the neck starts getting really swollen and bumps and redness appear on the belly and the back legs. And as we continue the treatment, the face, the eyes become completely normal, the face is less swollen, hair begins to grow, and yet now in between the pads of the feet, of the front feet, are swollen and bleeding and cracking. It's still a good sign because it's moving out of the body. And the belly is starting to look cracked and bleeding. But that's okay because it's moving back. And then a few days or a week later, the back feet are now swollen and bleeding, but the front feet are healing.
So doesn't the owner want to sue the pet when they see all of these symptoms coming out, this cracking and oozing? And I mean, it's kind of a little bit gross, and you get concerned about seeing these kinds of things. So how do you help the owner?
Well, number one, by educating them that this is a good thing. And sometimes that doesn't work, and they go get steroids to stop it. But that's going to impede the overall health of the animal. So there are many things you can do regardless of the symptom, whether it's a bladder problem, an ear problem, a skin problem, a digestive problem. There are many things you can do to soothe the symptoms while the body is working at healing itself. And that's one way, reason you need to know the difference between cure, palliation, and suppression. So we'll do several sessions off and on during this year on skin and what things you can do to soothe the skin, on the digestive tract, what things you can do to soothe the digestive tract. But the key thing here is that the symptoms are moving from the top down and from the front of the animal to the back. So if the tail gets really bad and the back feet get really bad, you're actually pleased because it's moving backwards. Now, if you get really the right remedy, the perfect potency given exactly the right number of times, the symptoms will all go away, the animal feels better. Maybe you'll get a return of an old symptom very briefly, like for an hour or two, and everything will be completely healed. So sometimes you get a real great miracle.
It is. We call that a miracle.
Yes.
Even though we're expecting it.
Well, what we expect is healing. I absolutely know that homeopathy will heal. But occasionally when you get just the exact combination, then that's a quick healing. And I call that a miracle.
Without all of the aggravation and suffering that, or whatever
right.
that you might expect to see.
Right.
You see the animal perks up and clears. And so we don't consider this suppression. Sometimes I've heard people say when you've said it, well,
mm-hmm.
oh, that all went away right away. So then
mm-hmm.
you say, uh-oh, I got to look out. What happened?
Right. And so we're going to talk about that in a minute.
Oh, okay. I'm ahead of myself.
We're still on cure right now.
Okay.
Now, with cure, whatever the treatment is will be needed less and less frequently until no treatment is needed anymore. So if you're doing acupuncture, you may start with two or three times a week, or chiropractic. You may start with two or three times a week, then once a week, then every other week, then every 3 weeks, then every month. So even though you're having to continue to treat, it's not palliation because the animal's feeling better overall, has more energy, better emotional state, and the symptoms are appropriately resolving dependent on how long they've been there. So even though you're continuing the treatment, it's getting less and less frequent, which shows that's your indication the energy field itself is doing some of the work. And that's the key thing we're looking for. A woman, Karen Cohen, and I have a link to her article on hpathy.com, and she's talking about what to look for in horses when you see a cure. So that's a good one to go to. Now, you brought up, Debbie, you brought up palliation and suppression. The thing in common between palliation and suppression, it's what we usually see in conventional medicine, and the key here is that whatever the symptom is goes away too fast.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the vital force coming in and having it go away. It's the drug or the homeopathic remedy or the treatment, whatever the treatment is, that's having the symptom go away. And with palliation,
mm-hmm.
it goes away temporarily
mm-hmm.
without a lot of improvement of energy, emotional state, the early warning signs of goop in the corner of the eye, doggy odor, cats vomiting, hairballs, dogs and cats eating weird things, those early warning signs don't get better. So there's no overall improvement. There's only an improvement in a few symptoms. Now,
I also mention that I don't know about animals, but in humans, very often you give that antibiotic or whatever it is, and actually not only it takes actually a longer time each time you take that antibiotic to see any relief, so it's not so quick anymore as you used to have that drug work.
Mm-hmm. And that can also happen.
Right.
And the key thing is that with palliation, you do have to keep repeating it, or you can't go off of it. So
yeah.
they'll have. If you find that you're having to continually give a homeopathic remedy in order to keep the symptom at bay, and as soon as you stop the homeopathic remedy or as soon as you decrease the frequency of the acupuncture, chiropractic, antibiotic, conventional medicine,
mm-hmm.
then the
it
symptoms
returned.
Come back. And you don't see the early warning signs going away, and they don't feel much better overall, that's palliation.
Okay.
Now, sometimes they will feel better overall simply because the symptom that you've gotten rid of was bothering them so much. So you could have, a pretty healthy puppy who develops an ulcer on the cornea. or it has an eyelid that rolls in, entropion. So it's got some hairs rubbing on its eye, causing sort of a chronic irritation. And before you've figured out maybe what it is that its eyelid's turning in, you treat the dog like starts sleeping a lot, not wanting to play as much because his eye hurts. And whatever treatment you do that makes the eye feel better, all of a sudden the dog is now feeling better. So it looks as if you're getting that curative improvement in energy. You have a dog that's limping from joint pain or a strain, and they may not seem as active, and they may, from the pain, want to sleep more, not get up and greet you at the door. And so when you treat them, even palliatively, the symptom goes away, and then they feel better because of the symptom. But you don't, again, you don't get the other early warning symptoms resolving, and you don't see major changes, and the symptoms return.
So as long as you're not seeing a reduction overall in symptoms,
in the early warning signs,
and need less treatment,
mm-hmm.
and that means you're just palliating.
Yep.
Right then. Okay. So then that means that you need to search for a new remedy,
or a different treatment,
or whatever treatment
you were using.
Okay.
Now there is a slight exception to this. So I have a couple of links there. One about a Jack Russell with slimy saliva, and another Peter Gregory case that shows treating local symptoms and then moving on to finding the similimum. And then Glenn Dupree talks about a dog, and this is a case where sometimes the best you can do is palliation. And he's talking about a dog that has congenital renal aplasia. So there's parts of the kidney that just never developed. And when you have severe pathology, maybe it's at the towards the end of life of cats, for instance, with severe renal disease, or it could be a dog with a portal cable shunt, or it could be a really traumatic hip or bone injury. So with these cases, sometimes the best you can do, it's a little tricky here to say whether it's palliation or moving towards a cure. Now, in Glenn Dupree's case, he calls it palliation, so I put it under palliation. However, I would say it's simply moving the animal as much towards a cure as possible. And again, the difference is looking at the whole animal. So I treated a cat early in my practice that had severe renal disease, and because it fit the symptoms of Arsenicum album, and had all the classic kidney symptoms of vomiting, not eating, weight loss, bad odor to the breath, this uremic breath, even had some diarrhea. And this cat was worse at night, was restless, was anxious, was so fearful of the vet clinic, they had to actually anesthetize the cat to draw blood from it, or tranquilize it to draw blood flux from it. So, of course, we never did that again. And there was no way this woman could do sub-Q fluids at home, nor take it to the clinic to get sub-Q fluids on a regular basis. We started with 6X Arsenicum album, and we gave it once a day for many months, and then twice a day, and then 6C once a day, then 6C twice a day. So we did have to continue giving the homeopathic remedy, or the symptoms would revert. However, we saw a resolution of early warning signs, and there was a deep healing of the energy. And as the symptoms started coming back, increasing the potency would get just as good a result as before. And the cat lived for another 5 years. So the cat was 22 finally got sick and died. So you So that's not palliation. Because one of the things that happens with palliation, as you said, Debbie, with when you keep taking antibiotics, they don't seem to work as well down the line.
Right.
Same thing's true with homeopathy. If you're palliating, mm-hmm. And maybe, again, it was some symptom that because it hurt them, they feel better, so you think you've been curative. And then the symptoms come back again. You use the same remedy, nothing new, so you use the same remedy. And this time you don't get quite as good a result. But you stick with Kent's rule of never leaving a remedy until you've gone up in potency. So then you go up in potency where the remedy is more specific. And at that point, you then get hardly any response at all. And so you realize that you've just been palliating all this time and not curing because you haven't had the curative responses. So you don't always know right away which one it is. You have clues, but that's why we keep a journal, because it's over time.
And I want to mention that on Wednesday's show with Dr. Adil Chimsalawala Kasim, talking about cardiology and our health, he also gave a case example of an emergency situation for someone who he gave a remedy and they had to wait for a week or more to determine whether to continue with the same remedy or switch, change remedies. And it was a good thing that they just simply kept on the same remedy and gave time for the patient to heal and for the body to respond, for the vital force to get rebalanced and start to feel better. So even though we want to see immediate results, we do have to have some patient and feel secure in our remedy selections. So I recommend people going back to Wednesday's show and taking a listen to that one too.
Excellent. That's excellent. And, you know, as we're saying, palliation and suppression, one of the common keys there is that they get better too quickly. So we don't want to see symptoms go away faster than they've appeared.
So, yes, and it's the same time sequence, kind of.
Right. Well, it's long. It will be quicker. I mean, if a dog's been itching for 5 years, it's not going to take 5 years to cure them. It's
right,
about a month for each year. So it may take 5 months to get a complete cure.
Okay.
Now, here's another idea of a heart case. We had... this is in Edward de Buchler's book, Homeopathy, What to Expect. And the great thing is he has 101 cured cases from 5 or 6 different homeopaths. And here's an old gun dog who came and developed heart failure. And there was a bad murmur. There was a cardiac arrhythmia. There was an enlarged heart. It was severe heart failure. And the dog had other very specific symptoms that pointed to the homeopathic remedy Aurum Metallicum. So here's a dog of unknown age, but they're guessing it had only been with the client for 6 months. It had just turned up at their door. But he was obviously an aged gun dog and maybe 10, 12. They gave Aurum Met 9C 2 times, 2 days apart.
Okay.
And within those two, here's a dog with severe pathology.
Mm-hmm.
And within 2 days, his behavior had changed. The fear of water went away. The odd behaviors and capriciousness and fearfulness and rambling all went away after just 2 doses. So you would be thinking here, oops, this is getting better too fast. This is probably palliation or suppression. However, he's feeling so much better that it fits our criteria of a cure, that the symptoms are going away, and then there's overall improvement and other early warning signs go away. And a year after that, he was still fine.
So I guess this is one of those right-on, spot-on remedies.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you know what's interesting, Christina? The case example that Dr. Otto gave on Wednesday, although he gave one remedy as a preemptive acute to get the person out of the trauma, The follow-up, again, it was a heart case, was Aurum Metallicum.
There you go. Wow.
So it'll be a good match if people go back and listen.
That's excellent, excellent. So then suppression is where the symptoms go away too fast, but more deep-seated ailments appear. So you have a puppy who gets vaccinated and a month later develops bad ear problems, and you get topical antibiotic steroid drops and maybe internal antibiotics as well, and the ear clears up in a day. It's 100% fine within maybe 2 hours after the first treatment into the ear. And then 2 months later, or over the next 2 months, the puppy seems to be harder and harder to train and gets more stubborn and more disobedient. That was probably caused by suppressing the ear discharge, allowing mental symptoms to appear. I had a good example of suppression. I had an itchy dog, and she calls me back, and I get prescribed a remedy. And in the two-week follow-up, she said, "Dr. Schombro, you're a miracle worker." Okay, well, already, what am I thinking? Cure? No. It's got to be palliation or suppression. Here's a dog that's been itching for 18 months, and then she tells me the itching stopped 5 minutes after she gave the remedy, and he hasn't scratched once since in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So already I'm going, I don't think so. But maybe it's one of these really cool perfect matches. So I start asking for any other symptoms. No real changes that I can elicit. I'm digging. And then I dig a little bit more. I keep asking about behavior. And finally she goes, "Oh, I'm so glad you asked me. I'd forgotten." But about a week after, 10 days after we gave the remedy, she started biting the children. Well, that's not very good. However, it could be indicative of a curative remedy. So I want everybody to stop for a minute and think, how would this indicate, in what circumstance would this indicate that actually the remedy was correct and the dog is now healthier and therefore biting the children? How could that be curative?
Am I going to answer this question?
Yeah, if you want.
Because we don't have anybody. We have a couple of, we have a couple of people in the chat, but I don't know that they're commenting.
Right.
If they're listening.
That's okay. That's okay. But I just let people think about it for a second. And so
okay,
let's see what you come up with.
Okay. Well, I could think of two possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
One is a symptom, or maybe three. One is a symptom from the past history that has come out and is displaying itself, so it's showing herring's law going back into the past. Two, it could be that the children have been aggravating this dog, and he's actually fighting back and protecting himself, which is a good thing. Let me see. I think those are two reasons that I can think of.
Yep, those would be the two I would think of. If it was a return of an old symptom, it should have only been there for a day or a few hours or one incident, not continuing on. So that wasn't it. And I asked careful questions, and it wasn't the kids abusing the dog, as far as I could tell.
Okay.
So I told her, this is an example of suppression. The itching went away too fast, and we've developed some mental problems here. So now I choose a remedy. Now, here's a point where a lot of people who are new to homeopathy would say, oh, you have to antidote the first remedy. Well, that's not true. The best antidote for an incorrect remedy is to prescribe the correct remedy. So when you're prescribing a remedy, as if this was a new case, you're going to make sure that whatever remedy you prescribe include the most current symptoms. So I had to ask questions about biting the children. Was it irritability? Was it defending itself and lashing out too much? Was it sheer aggression? Was it violent anger? So I had to figure out which rubrics to use. And the remedy needed to cover the itchy symptoms. And you can also add in as a part of your prescription a rubric that would be remedies that would antidote the first remedy. But it's not like you're looking for an antidote. You're just looking for the best remedy. And so I did that, and the dog immediately stopped biting the children and being nasty and growly. And so that stopped quickly because it was a new symptom. It was a functional symptom. Remember we talked about energetic level moves to functional, moves to inflammatory, moves to pathology. So this was up in the functional level. I would expect it to go away quickly.
And
the itching slowly resolved over, a couple of months.
Did you say, I might have missed it, you say that you included the new symptom of biting in a new repertorization?
Not only did I include it, but the first place, the most important symptom is whatever the current newest symptoms are.
Fascinating.
So the aggravation or the irritation is the most important. It's just like if somebody comes to me with a cat who's had colitis its whole life and then recently started itching and then and even more recently has had a behavior change. The remedy has to have the behavior change, really has to match the itching, and may or may not match the colitis, although I would like it to. Because what's in front of you right now reflects where the energy field is right now. Now, the more you can go back and include it, the better. Make sense?
Yes, it does make sense to
me.
You're very clear.
Now, the other thing about evaluating the response to a remedy is sometimes it looks like palliation or suppression because the dog... you're not sure. It's like you thought it was a cure. The animal felt better. There was resolution of some early warning signs. But then it doesn't seem to keep responding to the remedy anymore. When you repeat the remedy or repeat it at a higher potency, you get a little response, but not as much as before. That may be caused by you're doing something that's preventing the vital force from healing. So it could be emotional state related to something people in the household are doing, arguing, not being at home, leaving the music on too loud. It could be due to a vaccine, to drugs they're on, like heartworm prevention or frontline. I mean, I've had animals that I'm tearing my hair out trying to figure out why they're tearing their hair out.
Uh-huh.
And then I discover they've been using frontline and never told me.
Okay.
And maybe I didn't ask. Or maybe I asked in passing and I didn't write it down. And so the front line was what was preventing the animal from getting better. So obstacles to cure is one of the things to look at is, I thought it was a cure. Are we doing something that's not allowing the body to cure itself?
Do you also find that with electrical lines and things like that?
Rarely.
Rarely?
You know, in 28 years or so, in my practice, I've probably had less than 2% where I felt it was electrical, maybe 4% where it was some sort of energetic entity that had to be cleared from the house, like a psychic spell, a ghost, or something like that. Large percentage has been the people. Something about how they are, and as they get healthier, the animals get healthier.
Right.
One of my most amazing clients is one who we really were challenged by her cats a lot because of her anxieties, and we made a lot of progress. But when she became trained in Christian Science and started really using Christian Science, I now talk to her maybe once a year. And it's been like 4 or 5 years. And almost always when she calls me, now it's not even that, but in the transition period, she would call me, oh, yeah, Susie's doing, oh, Susie's. And I would just say, have you done your Christian Science meditation on this? Well, no, my teacher's out of town and I can't. Well, of course I can. Okay, I'll do that. She went and did her Christian Science meditation and I didn't even need a homeopathic remedy.
Okay, so let's focus on the fact that she had a practice, a meditative practice that was healing for her.
Mm-hmm.
And that was...
That removed her as an obstacle of cure for her cats.
She sounded very anxious.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A lot of anxiety. Okay.
Now, I've got a couple of examples. Do we have any questions first from people?
Don't see any today.
Posted? Okay.
So
I'm going to give a
no.
couple of examples. Just to see, so you get a sense of, you know, a couple more examples here, and then you can read about these. A 9-year-old cat had been getting Depo-Medrol, long-acting steroid injections, for 8 years at an ever-increasing frequency. So at first, the cat licked her belly raw and then got a steroid shot and was fine for a year. Licked her belly raw, got a steroid shot. 6 months later, licked her belly raw, got a steroid shot. And over the period of 8 years, she was now getting them every 6 weeks to keep her from licking her belly raw. So now, is this cure, palliation, or suppression?
Okay, you're asking me.
Yeah.
Oh.
And everybody
okay.
who's listening to this gets to think for a minute.
Okay.
So put on your
thinking caps, everybody. So we have a cat that was put on steroids and kept licking the skin raw no matter how many doses of steroids.
No, not quite. The cat would lick its stomach raw and
okay.
would get a dose.
Okay.
And then be fine for a year.
Okay.
And then get a dose and be fine for only 6 months.
Oh, okay. The
then
time
it needed it every
shortened.
6 months, then every 4 months, then every
right.
finally every month and a half
it
when
seems,
I started treating.
This sounds like an example of what we've been talking about from the beginning of the show.
Mm-hmm. Which,
right?
Cure, palliation, or suppression?
Oh, palliation probably, but because it was needed to be repeated in order to suppress, in order to relieve the symptoms. For
okay.
a short period, but then the drug stopped working, and it had to be given more frequently.
Right.
I don't. Did you mention any new types of?
Nope. There were no new symptoms. This was the cat's only symptom, and basically, at an average cat in a 5-cat household.
Okay. Well, perhaps that it started out as palliation. It made the kitty feel a little bit better. But then it sounds more like suppression.
Now, suppression is when the symptoms go away
okay.
and more deep symptoms appear,
oh, yes.
more nasty symptoms appear.
I guess that wasn't suppression then. So
no.
it's palliation.
Palliation, absolutely.
Yay.
Now,
okay.
in addition to it being palliation, when she gave me that history, was I more confident that I would be able to cure this cat or less confident that I'd be able to cure this cat given the location of the symptom?
Was the owner confident?
Me. Was I more confident?
You, okay, so,
so
it's
from
on
a homeopathic perspective, does it sound like this cat would be easier to cure or harder to cure given how it's acted over 8 years?
It seems like it remained in the same location
yeah.
over the entire time span.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't move. It didn't change. It didn't go down, which you said would be a better thing to see.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't go up.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't produce any new symptoms, which would have been more suppression, as you said.
Exactly.
So perhaps you might have felt, okay, we can do something.
Yes, absolutely. So here's an 8-year-old cat whose vital force is healthy enough to keep the symptom on the outside.
Very good.
So that's another good sign.
Okay.
So there's other examples that you can read on the site and think about any illnesses you or your animals have had and then see, what do you think happened as they were treated? Was it cure, palliation, or suppression? Or you're
right.
not sure. I'm not always sure. Sometimes it takes me a year before I can go back and say, oops, that was palliation or that was suppression.
So if we ourselves in our own body, not only in our
mm-hmm.
pet,
yep,
see, have an illness, have something, maybe it's warts that's been there forever in the same place and it doesn't spread or it doesn't move to another location because you had it cut off or burned mm-hmm. or something, and or a rash that just keeps coming back after you put cream on it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always in the same place and nothing else is turning up, then you can feel pretty good about, yeah, you know, maybe we can deal with this. We can find
exactly.
out. Oh, I love this.
Yep.
Okay.
Absolutely. Okay, well, here we are, ready to sign off till next week.
Okay, so again, did we have any further discussion on this topic, or did you have another topic planned, or shall we go to the PTSD?
I think we can go ahead and go to the PTSD next time. We'll talk more about obstacles to cure all along and response to treatment, cure, palliation, and suppression, and case-taking every time we talk. So if anybody
okay.
does send in a case that they want to, even if the animal is no longer with you, if you want to find, if you want to get an idea of what do you think happened, you can
uh-huh.
do that. So we can talk about, you know, if somebody sends stuff in, we'll do that. Otherwise, we'll do the military.
Yes, I think it's a very big issue, and a lot of people have an emotional tie to this issue for many reasons. And so hopefully people will tune in. And so we want to tell folks that Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio is here with you, broadcasting free educational information about homeopathy and health. We normally have a 12 noon show on Thursday with Alan Phillips, a vaccine expert. He's an expert, actually. He's an attorney at law, an expert in exemptions and waivers, a speaker, a lecturer, an author, and very involved in legislation. And so he will be on tomorrow at 2 p.m. because of scheduling conflict for today. And on Monday evening, we have, again, Grant Bentley, Australian naturopath and homeopath, talking about facial analysis and how he uses this method to help him select the best matching remedy for his patients. And on Wednesday morning, we have Dr. Adil Chimthalawala Kasim, cardiologist from India, who has done incredible work all over in research, in his clinics, in speaking, in instruction, in everything. And he's really got a wonderful show Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock. And I think we might be starting a brand new show coming up maybe next week. And I'll give you a heads up on it. It will be about the Complete Dynamics computer program for those who are using homeopathy, who are homeopaths and need some tools. We're going to be giving an introduction and starting some tutorials coming up next week, hopefully. So I want to thank everybody. Don't forget to tweet, to Facebook, share this, embed the widget into your website, and just tell people, tell your friends about these awesome shows.
And thank you, Debbie, for organizing this and having it happen. It's wonderful. Looking forward to the new shows that you bring on.
Thank you. Okay, until next time, we'll see you.
Thank you for listening to Pet Health and Homeopathy on Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio with homeopaths Debbie Brock and Dr. Christina Chambreau. We encourage you to follow our show. Click the reminder button to receive email notices when show airs, share with friends on Facebook and Twitter, and send in your comments and questions. See you next time!